Today, we hear from the letter to the churches at Ephesus, written around the year 62, while the Apostle Paul was in prison. He wrote it to encourage and help the first Christians figure out how to be right relationship with one another. Let us open our hearts, our ears, minds, hearts, and souls, and stretch our imaginations across time and space to hear what this ancient letter has to say to us today. You were once in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. So live your life as children of light. Light produces fruit that consists of every sort of goodness, justice, and truth. Therefore, test everything to see what is pleasing to the Lord, and don't participate in the unfruitful actions of darkness. Instead, you should reveal the truth about them. It's embarrassing to even talk about what certain people do in secret. But everything exposed to light is revealed by the light. Everything that is revealed by the light is light. Therefore, as the prophet Isaiah says, "Wake up, sleeper, get up from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." So be careful to live your life wisely, not foolishly. Take advantage of every opportunity, because there are evil times. Because of this, don't be ignorant, but understand the Lord's will. Don't get drunk on wine, which produces depravity. Instead, be filled with the Spirit in the following ways. Speak to each other with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music to the Lord in your hearts. Always give thanks to God the Father for everything, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and be subject to each other out of respect for Christ. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God in Spirit, for the word of God among us, thanks be to God.
Those of you who've been coming this summer know that we've been doing a series on who is our neighbor, reminding us of two great commandments that Jesus said repeatedly in the Gospels. What's the first command? Thank you, Merle, head of the class. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, spirit, strength. There are a few different words in there. And the second is? Excellent. Love your neighbors yourself. And we've been hearing from neighbors. Can you help me remember who we've heard from this summer? Just raise your hand. Tommy Vitolo, our state rep. Mr. Rock, Eric Hoke, who is a visiting pastor from Western Pennsylvania, from Mr. Rogers' neighborhood, and spoke to us about the quality of neighborhood. Carrington Moore, the executive director of Common Cathedral, the church on Boston Common for Boston's homeless community. Excellent. The mental health team, thank you. Some folks here are part of the mental health team. Peter. Oh, yeah, Peter is one of the members of the mental health team. Thank you. Excellent. Last week we heard from Rana and Faiza, who are part of the Brookline Muslim Friends, and beautifully let us know about what it means to be Muslim in Brookline and their neighborliness and friendship. Yes, thank you. We heard from Thrifty Threads, our thrift shop upstairs, how that is a draw for our neighbors and community, and how there is a community within that. Raul Fernandez, the first Latinx member of the Brookline Select Board, who works on diversity, equity, and inclusivity at Boston University and elsewhere. And then I think that's everyone. And today we're going to hear from Matthew Kosick. Come on up, Matthew. So I wrote to you this week in the blog that if you're here on a weekday afternoon during the school year, Matthew knows how to use a mic, it's great, you will hear young people, children and youth, belting out show tunes, which is why we have peppered today's worship with music from the Broadway canon. And you will also see them learning dance steps, busily painting sets, and if you come down here on certain weekends, they will put on a performance right here in this space. They even have sort of led the way on accessibility by one of their members building an accessibility ramp to the stage for one of the kids, which is a great example for all of us. So this spring, Karina Thompson and I sat down with Matthew just to hear what Art Barn thinks of us as part of our purpose clarification, how they see us as a community and as a building. And I think Karina and I were impressed by Matthew's gregariousness, his passion, and also just how much he cares about this program. It's infectious when you talk to him, as you're about to see. And so I thought it'd be great for those of us who mainly just come here on Sunday or meetings during the week to hear a little bit more about Art Barn and how I personally feel that they're connected to our mission as well. So welcome, Matthew. Would you give Matthew a big welcome?
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So we're going to do this as a conversation rather than a prepared talk. And the first question you know I have for you is, what is Art Barn?
So Art Barn Community Theater is a children's theater here in Brookline. We have programming for pre-K through eighth grade, and our mission is to foster creativity, self-esteem, and social confidence through the performing arts. So we use the tool of putting on a play to provide young folks with an opportunity to explore their identity and their sense of self and the way that their identity connects to their community. This is our 25th season of shows in Brookline, our sixth here at United Parish, and this year we'll have 10 productions, about 30 performances happening right there on that stage, and it may not look like much now, but when we get the lights in and the costumes and the sets and 30 first and second graders singing their hearts out up there, it definitely feels like Broadway.
And what do you love about it, Matthew?
I have loved theater and live storytelling since I was a little kid, and I love the magic of it. I love the joy that it brings people. I love the way that it makes us think about what it is to be a human person, and I love getting to share that and create that with young people, especially young people that may be having their first experience doing theater. And I also love that in the act of creating a play, we accomplish so much more. But if you had come to me and said, Matthew, I have a job for you, and this job is you're going to create a space where young people can come and they can challenge themselves and grow and learn about their identity and find their voice and find a way to build a community, I would say I have no idea how to do that. But if you said to me, Matthew, I've got some fifth and sixth graders, I want you to put on a production of The Wizard of Oz, that I can do. And the really remarkable, wonderful thing is that the tools and the skills and the methods, the values that we use to bring a piece of theater to life just so happen to be the same values and skills and tools that are necessary to do all those other beautiful things. But we get to kind of do the simple thing of just putting on a play, and then we accomplish this thing that sort of seems impossible when you really think about it. The kids come to put on a play. My staff thinks we're putting on a play. I think that we're putting on a play. And then we do so much more, and we also get to put on a play. So there you go.
Is there anything you would add about your passion and devotion to this, or any stories that kind of illustrate what you're talking about for us?
Yeah, I think it's very easy to talk about sort of finding your voice as an abstract, theoretical sort of thing, and I get to actively see that happening. I had a student, this is years ago, we were doing a production of A Midsummer Night's Dream, a musical version that some of my staff had written. And the young actor, sixth grader playing Helena, has this scene with Hermia where it's a very dramatic scene where they're arguing with each other. It's in a very, you know, high drama, fun stuff. And we had this idea in the rehearsal room that we would start the scene off stage and Helena would scream and then get dragged on stage by Hermia. And it would be very dramatic, and they were very excited about it because they're sixth graders and they love that sort of stuff. And I could tell that she wanted this moment, but every time we rehearsed it, the scream was sort of, like it was sort of stuck in her. She had an idea of what she wanted to do, but she couldn't put that idea out there into the world. And I kept saying to her, I know you've got something bigger in you. And she said, I know, and the next time it would be, like slightly bigger. Opening night, she's off stage getting ready for this moment, and she screams, rage toes through the soul, just out this monstrous scream, gets dragged on stage, plays this really dramatic scene beautifully, and she comes running off stage, and I'm backstage, and her eyes are like this, and she says, I did it. I didn't know I could do it. And I'll tell you, I didn't know I could do it will fuel me for a generation. And I get to see so many beautiful moments like that. And she's going to take that with her, and not the, now I know how to scream when needed, but this idea that I'm capable of more than I thought I was, that if there's some idea in me, something I want to put out into the world, that I have the courage and the capacity to do that, even if it feels scary. And I think that seeing that again and again, that the active, tangible moments like that is what keeps me passionate about this work.
Excellent. So some of the things we talked about in the spring, and you and I have talked about since, is why you like being in our building. Mm-hmm. And can you say a little bit more about that? Because I'm aware that there's a lot that goes on the building during the week that many of us who come to worship are not aware of. And those who are here hear all this great music and activity and buzz and excitement and community. And you kind of lost your home before you came to us, right?
Mm-hmm. We did. So we lost our home, and we were looking for a new home. And there's a way that I think a space has the energy of the things that have come before it in it. And not to sound too like get that man a tinfoil hat or something, but I do feel an energy in spaces. And from the first moment that I came into this space, I felt the history of, I don't even know what performances happened on that stage before we came here. I know that in this room were certainly weddings and celebrations and things. I didn't even realize at the time that this is what happens in the summer, that you have your worship here. But I could feel that warm, welcoming energy. And you all know what a warm and welcoming community this is. You're part of that community. For us at Art Barn, to do the thing that we're doing, to ask young people to be so vulnerable and risk so much, we need a space that feels safe and welcoming to them, a place where they feel comfortable doing that. And one of our values, one of our missions, is that Art Barn is for everyone. Every gender expression, every sexual orientation, every race, every background, and every beautiful mix of those things. And I know that that's also very much part of your mission. I love the, I think I can remember how it's phrased on your website. It says, we believe that we are all made in God's image, no exceptions, yeah, right? I love it, no exceptions. And I certainly felt that. I feel that talking to you, Kent, and to other staff, and I feel that in this space. But I know that our actors feel that, because they get to come to an Art Barn that is happening in a building where there's a Black Lives Matter flag flying, that there is a trans visibility flag flying, that there is imagery and words written on the walls that say, you are welcome here, you are seen here. And that's something that's so important to us at Art Barn, and we're just incredibly grateful that we share that mission. When I tell people who don't know who we are or where we are, they say, where do you have your performance? And I say, United Parish. And they say, which one is that? And I say, it's the one with the rainbow Adirondack chairs. And they instantly go, that one. Mm-hmm. And we love that, because from the moment our actors approach this building, they know that's a space where I will be seen, I will be welcomed, I will be safe. And that's what we need to be able to ask them to do what we're asking them to do.
Excellent. Thank you. Are there any other stories about Art Barn that you wanted to share today that you think would pique our imaginations or give us a little window?
There's an article that was written in the Sagamore, the Brookline High School newspaper, a couple years ago. They approached me and said, we'd like to do an article about Art Barn, and they tracked down a bunch of our alumni who were high school students, some of them interns, and did a bunch of interviews with them. And I think there's one that I sort of wanted to just share with you, because I think her words are maybe more powerful even than mine can be.
Just happened to have it in his pocket.
Just happened to find this. The impromptu conversation. So this is a young woman who started in first grade with us and came all the way up through, and she is quoted, she says, "Middle school can be a rough time in students' lives. You see kids come in, and maybe they're really shy, maybe they don't know anybody in the program yet, but they come in and they really find themselves, as cheesy as it sounds. The Art Barn community takes in everybody, creates this environment where everybody can grow and completely find confidence in what they're doing. I was a very shy kid, and I'm still relatively shy, but Art Barn has given me a lot of skills and made me feel more confident in my ability to stand up and talk to people." Now that young woman, as I said, she started in first grade, came all the way up through, was an intern and a counselor for our summer program in the summer, and this summer she was hired as the assistant director of our Summer at the Barn Camp program. So she's truly come all the way through, and she's now inspiring a new generation of young people. And when she says she was shy, I remember that kid. I don't see that kid anymore. I see this incredibly confident young woman who knows what she wants, knows her voice, knows how to share herself with a community that she loves very dearly.
Amen. So you know that music is very important to us and art, and we used to do children's musicals. We'll probably do them again. And the congregation knows that I first learned to speak and sing in front of people in church. And it kind of set me for life as an imprint of I was beloved and that I had something to share. And I believe it's a big part of our mission here with children and youth. I delight when our children and youth lead us in worship, get up to read scripture or sing. And I was very excited when you all came here because your mission to me feels aligned with that. And I just, you've said a little bit of how that is an Art Barn, but I'm also curious about how your spirituality and worldview plays into what you do with these kids and youth.
There's a beautiful Stephen Schwartz musical. You've heard a bunch of Stephen Schwartz today already. It's called Children of Eden, and it's a treatment of the book of Genesis. And in this musical, in the first act, Eve sings one of my absolute favorite songs in the entire musical theater canon. It's called The Spark of Creation. And she's in the garden, and she's realizing that she has this desire in her to see beyond the garden, to learn and to grow and to discover and to become and to reach. And she believes that the father that made her, when he was creating her, that he left what she calls the spark of creation in her. And that song has always resonated with me, and I think that's my spirituality, that's my worldview, that we as human people all have within us this spark of creation, this desire to create. And it's not just to create tangible things, it's to create relationships, to create communities, to create ourselves. And I get to see that at play every day when I come into work, from the moment that we stand in a circle and introduce ourselves to the moment that these actors bow on stage. I see their spark of creation, and I get to feel that I have a little part in igniting that for them.
Amen. It's in line with our scripture today of children of light, yeah, that Emily read for us, and the light we light each week, and the light we're going to take out when we take Anthony out to baptize on the front lawn. Anything else you want to add to this, to say to us before we go on with the rest of worship?
No, I'm just incredibly honored to be here and grateful that you all are willing to listen to me talk about this thing that I do, and I'm so grateful to get to see this thing that this community does. We've been a part of your community for a number of years now, and it's great to actually be sitting in the room with you and seeing the magical thing that you do.
So now we're going to show up at some of their productions this year, right, to check them out and what they're doing. Thank you, Matthew.
Please come. We welcome everyone. We want to expand who's coming. Come see stuff. I sort of joke about it, but truly there's nothing like first and second graders doing a piece of musical theater to, like, inspire you and give you hope in the future.
Thank you, Matthew.
Thank you so much.